Yeah, thank you so much. First of all, I'd like to thank Professor Pekka Hokkanen's hospitality for making all the arrangements and also to help us balance work and entertainment. So I think everyone is truly enjoying your hospitality. So thank you so much. Thank you. And as someone who has spent a significant time my life during the last 30 years in libraries and archives inside and outside China, it's my pleasure to explain a few rules of thumb and just share some thoughts on practical terms. I'm quite pleased to take this opportunity to really share my thoughts on how to use libraries and archives in China. Now, the first question is, in the age of digitization, why is physical libraries and archives important? I'm truly believing, actually, the value of printed material and, of course, the microfilmed material. They are very valuable and irreplaceable, because this has to do with the access of information as well as the critical use of information. In the age of information explosion, I think online material, the internet have greatly benefited us. Made our research life easier. But on the other hand, I think it compounds really the whole process of data collection, primary, secondary sources, the gathering. Particularly, I think for young people, young scholars and researchers, with so much information out there, it's hard to really distinguish which one is more credible, which one would be more usable. So I think implements a lot of challenges for us. So a very simple matter is these days for bookkeeping, for record keeping, it's very tough for us because some material comes through in hard copies, some material, a lot of them actually a soft copy, and we have all enormous, of course, a number of email. So what to do with them? So it's really we are living in a very, I think, contemporary era, but also it's a very challenging, I think, time for all of us. Because virtually, we have to pretty much we have to be available around the clock. Wherever we go, mostly the internet is available. So but it doesn't make our life really less, I think, easier. So it can be quite strenuous. So therefore, I think I'd like to really share some personal experience with all of you, and to see how better we can use and manage library and archival sources. Now, I think strategically, it is so important to make mental and logistical preparations before taking the trip to libraries, archives in China, or any other libraries and archives in other localities. This is a key, a successful, efficient library trip. And very often I feel that sufficient preparation and also familiarity with the subject matter pretty much determine the results of of your library and archive on the trip in China. So I have some personal advice on important aspects involving conducting research in libraries, conducting library and archival work in China. First of all, I think this might not sound correct, but I tell you, this is the first thing we ought to do is taking full advantage of local libraries and archives or resources close to us. What it mean? Well, regardless where we are, I think the fundamental thing is for us to be able to fully tap into our local resources. This is how actually I have been, I think, benefiting from all different the geographical locations around the world. So sometimes the research topic just came through incidentally, just because of you know, my contact with local people, or the my work actually at local institutions. So I have been living in three major continents, North America, Asia, Hong Kong, mainland China, and of course now Northern Europe. So I have had privileges actually to live near major university library or city libraries or archives. But on the other hand, also I have been able to use for example, our Finnish libraries. Many people would think probably, comparatively speaking, the Asian collection is quite a thing. I must tell you, I have been enjoying the Finnish resources, the libraries and archives. So this is the point. Now, what this means, in the past, for example, when I was pursuing my first PhD at the Institute of Modern Chinese History at the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, I had, of course, the convenience to use the massive collection in the library there. I think still probably to this day, the library of the Institute of Modern History at CAS is probably one, I would say, if it's not the best, it's one of the best libraries on modern and contemporary China. During my years in the Boston area, I made a lot of trips to the Harvard Yenching, Widener, Lamont, Houghton, Law Library, and Divinity Libraries, you name it. And I think it required persistence. At the end of it is I was able to fully take full advantage of the local resources. Of course, I have used the Boston Public Library in order to actually get the easy free access to JSTOR back many years ago when it wasn't available at my local institution. As far as Finland is concerned, I have been enjoying using the Finnish National Library. Of course, down in the pipeline, the National Archives will be actually one of my destination for research. There are all kinds of surprising the discoveries. For the Finnish, the National Library, I discovered that actually there is a specific collection on the United States. So I incidentally discovered it and made quite some trips to there. I carry bags of books back. So this is the first thing I think I would like to share with you is really to do not, this is the Chinese idiom. It means that do not abandon your local resources for something really far-fetched. So anyway, that's the first thing. I also, when I was working in Hong Kong, I used the Hong Kong, the Lingnan University Library, including the special collection. Actually, it was there. I just happened to discover to develop my research topic on Lingnan University, globalization in education. Also, of course, it has to do with Christianity in China. So the really, I think it shows how beneficial would be if we can tap into our local resources. Now the other issue is interlibrary loans. Working in Finland, it really also require us to be more active and creative in terms of source acquisition. So in the last 3 years, I have been using the interlibrary loans provided at University of Turku. I must say they offer a fantastic service, and I have asked them to find the books not only in Western languages but also in Chinese and Japanese. So then there is a key is when there is no librarian specializing in Asian studies, what do we do? How do we get this kind of interlibrary service? Well, my advice is be considerate. What I do is usually I just log on to the Harvard Yenching Library or Harvard Library System and get the citation. The information, and then I send the PDF file to our interlibrary loan person, and which goes along with my online, the request. So it certainly has helped her secure the items I want. It's fast. It's good. So the other advice is do not whine. We just have to really work with what we have, and the results can be very, I think, positive. We need to seek personal guidance using a specific library and archives in China. So what it means is that I think it has different levels. On one level is we need to tap into available printed and online guides. They are out there. So for example, Yehwan Joseph Ashrick have published a book called Chinese Archives, an Introductory Guide in 1996. Actually, I personally know them both. There's their husband and wife team, and of course I organized the translation project for Joe Ashrick's award-winning book on the Boxers Movement when I was young. So this book, the Chinese Archives, actually provides a guide to national and provincial archives, and also about 500 sub-provincial archives in China. So this is a very useful the printed material for us to use before taking the trip. Now there are some other a source of information, quite I think credible, useful source of information. For example, this very relatively new online resource is called a dissertation review, monitored by Thomas Mullany at Stanford University. It's online. It offers a service actually to new PhDs or PhD candidates who are working on their dissertations. There is a specific actually section called Fresh from Archives. So it really shares a lot of the latest information on archives and libraries in China. For example, this is the latest information about the closing of the Chinese number 2 historical archives. Actually, it's very much actually, I think, spread thanks to this this place. So. That's the one source of information. The other is actually a lot. I think it really depends on your specific topics. You just need to know where to get the information. I can just give you some the examples. Since I have been working on China's foreign relations for quite a while, and I have been actually also working on the some bibliography, annotated bibliographies. So, for example, like very important to this archives. Well, they have published the archival guide. Actually, Institute of Modern History, Academia Sinica's, in Taipei's publication. It's very helpful. It provides some important information on where the archives are located there. It's really that place, the Institute of Modern History, really has a wealth of material there, primary sources for us. And then for someone who work on modern China, this is also very important. It's Shen Yongnong edited this 271 volumes of collection of historical sources for modern China. What it means is that it reprinted a lot of valuable the archives. But you just need to go through them. Don't be intimidated, because there are actually two volumes guide readers who work on this 271 volumes collection. I have done them. It's wonderful. So I simply went to the Harvard Yenching Library, because the libraries, as you know, in the United States, their stacks are open. So you just go into there. I spend hours and hours there. To work on the different sources and the archives. Anyway, so now this, what about mainland China? Well, mainland China actually has been publishing a lot of archives. Just to give you the example, this 90 volume, this 中华民国史档案资料汇编, the 90 volume. So it is so useful, because it simply republished some useful archives from the number 2, the Chinese historical archives. So again, don't be intimidated. There is this 2-volume guide which was just published in 2010. So it is useful. Yeah. Now, The next point is I'd like to make it to stay up to date, to check out the latest information on libraries and the archives. I have had so many surprises. So for example, I made at least two trips to Yale, or three, I think. Yeah, Yale libraries. Then the two out of the three, I think, I encountered renovation and strikes. So, it worked out okay. It means that you have to really check out the latest. So who knows? Or if there is anything just happening, you just deal with it. The trip to the Yale, the main library, Sterling Library, was smooth. So other than that, then the Divinity Library, the trips, I think one was postponed, and the other was, virtually I had to cook by myself since the cafeteria workers were on strike. So anyway, but as I said, you just handle it. And then this number two archives closing. It is said that they're going to digitalize all the archives, but the closing allegedly will be 3 years. So it is quite, I think, quite a loss of the inconvenience. But on the other hand, I have been there. I understand why they have to digitize the archives, because they are in such fragile conditions. And when we actually requested those archives, gosh, it's really, I had this kind of a sense of guilt, I just felt very guilty, because they simply deliver all the original archives to readers. Anyway, so that's really the complication. Now, the next point is nurturing relationships. This is very important. I think it would make everything so much easier and pleasurable. So I can share a few tips with all of you. And the point is, be a nice citizen. Who knows, under what circumstances, opportunities and convenience might be there for you. I can share some of my experience. For example, back in 2002 March, I was flying back to Hong Kong from Boston. On that United Airlines flight, I was just, because we were rearranged because of the storm in Chicago. So I was booked onto a different flight. And obviously it was quite crowded. So I was busy, to settle my luggage when I boarded the plane. And then I saw this very friendly looking lady. So I exchanged some friendly smile with her too, so I helped her settle her luggage. So I just incidentally sat together with her, so we just started a conversation. And then I discovered that she was the chief librarian in charge of the Chinese acquisition at Harvard Yenching Library. So there you go. And so I told her what I was doing, the my book, the Lingnan University book. So she said, we have actually the Lingnan archives. They donated to us, even though, some of the archives available in micro film, but actually the quite a significant portion of the archives actually were donated to Harvard years ago by the Lingnan Foundation board. So that was really quite useful the a piece of information. And then they, when I settled down in Boston, I simply just pay a visit to her. So there you go, that started our really long-lasting friendship. And I can just assure you, sometimes I had a hard time locating certain primary sources and archives. I simply just give her a call, and she would do, she would just tell me where they are, and also sometimes she would help me check out books, they all return my books. So anyway, so this kind of thing, as I said, be a good citizen and impress others under any circumstances. And sometimes, you know, the French, you just have to be deliberate. It's just, in Hong Kong, I made friends with, the chief librarian there. And so she simply just introduced me to the chief librarian, actually, at the Sun Yat-sen University. And then from that point on, that librarian helped me arrange for my trips to the Guangdong Provincial Archives, periodical, collection at Sun Yat-sen University. Anyway, so it is so important. But probably for some of our young students will say, well, I don't have any, you know, this kind of connection or ties. Well, you just look around to see, you know, you can ask teachers to help you, even though I would say do not overtax your teacher and be conscientious. But on the other hand, need to really grab the opportunity to make sure people can help you and they can happily help you. So, and then later on, remember to always thank them, acknowledge them. So, for example, when my articles and books came out, I would always send a copy to those people who have helped me in just numerous ways. So, just I think for us, it's for me, it's very important to remember those people who helped me in one way or the other. Very important. And to make sure they know that you treat them very, you know, as a special, someone special. So regardless, I mean, as I said, what the situation is, nurturing relationships. Now, the other point is I want to make is make a realistic plans with a clear goal. Really need to know what you want to get. Even though you should have some kind of flexibility and spontaneity. Now, logistics, I can share some thoughts with you. Most, I think, as far as I know, almost all libraries in China archives, they are all closed. Their stacks are closed. So you just have to be patient and be flexible, be accommodating in dealing with the different rules and different rules and regulations and people in libraries and archives. For example, remember very well the number two historical archives. They have this 2-hour long break, a lunch break, and then the surrounding the area, as far as I know, from my last visit, virtually really has nothing. You just sit. I didn't know where I should go, so it just the archives. So do not want. You just have to work with the situation, and I did. Then the other, like Guangdong Provincial Archives, which actually was the state of art back in, I think, 2006, when it was just reopened. So it's a very nice archives, but also it has the same issue, the lunch break. What do you do? Then I remember very well in July and August, gosh, when Canton, Guangzhou, had this heat waves like 40 degrees Celsius and the noontime. Still there was this hustle and bustle city. And it was very hard to find a peaceful corner. So I decided, well, staying at Sun Yat-sen University was too far from the archive, so I just checked into a hotel right just within one block from the archives. So then lunchtime, sometimes you just walk around to find, I think I was successful finding a Starbucks coffee. So that provided some kind of a comfort in the very hot, on the hot summer day. But anyway, so, but it's okay. This is what the part of the fun, of dealing with the archives, the primary sources. The other point I want to make is be aware of different services available to you. For example, Academia Historica, I visit there. They actually, once you are there, there are quite a lot of archives available online, but it's for on-site use. So they but make sure you're aware of that. Also, the other example I can give you is this, the archives of the Institute of Modern History Academia at Academia Sinica in Taipei. You can actually apply a kind of the account for you to get access to their nice online archives. Not all information is there, actually. Particularly some those you really want, they're not there. So, but there are some the material there, which is quite useful, and they're quite generous. It's free, and you can. You can download, I think, 5,000 pages within a year, and also you can make 500-page photocopies of the archives. Anyway, the sources. So these the different services should I think they are good, and you should be aware of. And the other point I'd like to make here is save your records regularly and in a safe place. I have had those kind of the catastrophe or disaster, but you know, I survived well. So I can share my personal experience here. One year I was working in an art archive in China, and in general I'm quite organized, but you know, sometimes it's just you're so caught up in the very different formats of archives. Well, you know, some libraries, some archives, they have very strict rule in terms of photocopying. So you have to hand you have to note down manually the material. And sometimes I brought my own computer. So on that occasion, it was a disaster because I thought I had kept the file up to date, but it turned out I only saved it on the USB, and then later on I forgot about it. Then I overwrote the USB file, then deleted the. Couldn't find it. I even actually later on hired someone, a specialist, to recover the data. It was a failure, but it was okay because I did not actually record all my all the archives and on the computer. I took notes. So I was okay, even though it was a kind of a loss for me. So you learn, I learn. So save the records regularly and in a safe place. So that's really what I would say. It's sounds like a cliche, but we really have to discipline ourselves just to be more organized on the saving and filing. Our records. So then the last thing I think, I would like to give some time for questions and answers. But I would say, lastly, it's really please enjoy working libraries and archives in China. I'm a historian, once you touch those really the historical records, it really, I think, helps us delve into a very recent world. They imagined or very the also the kind of a real world of doing research. So enjoy working there. Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, we have time for a few questions. I have one question. I'm not archive research, but I've heard from friends doing that sort of things, that when you have a like a Western face or Finnish face and you go to some minor archive, people may get suspicious and even call the local police or to make sure that anything doesn't happen. What would be your advice to
my advice? Well, you know, I had the same experience before. Actually, due to time limit, I didn't have the time to really talk about the real local archives and libraries. They are a great source of information, but it poses a lot more challenges. You know, for Chinese American, I actually encountered the same problem. I have been actually working on the topic relating to Luoyang, the city of Luoyang. It actually is not a small interior, really remote city at all. It's in China's Midwest, quite center, and it has a population of 6 million, more than Finland. But in China, I think it's a medium-sized city. So I attempted to get certain information from the city archives. So I encountered great resistance to all the barriers. But I wasn't discouraged. But later on, anyway, at the time, actually, I spent actually quite a few hours trying to persuade the leader of the Luoyang archives to open sources to me, but I didn't succeed. And so later on, when I returned to my parents still live there in Luoyang, and I have some local friends who actually work at the city. The local gazetteer, 地方志, 办公室. So I was told that the archives people were suspicious of me. They had the same suspicion. So, but do I just stop my investigation? Do I just give in? No, I think that's. You know, it's typical. I think what you can do is, that's why I'm saying, be realistic. Sometimes you don't, you know, very often, do not hang yourself on one tree. No, you don't do that.
I can see artists are feeling hanged from several trees at the same time.
Well, diversify your investment. I would say, do not make your face in one nest. Let's be put it differently, but it's the same meaning. So, anyway, that's my advice.
I have a question. It's a kind of about information. When I was in Canada moment, I remember that if you are a university, if you are a student in this university, but you go the other university's library, you're not allowed to. Don't know whether the situation changed or not.
You mean in China, right?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, it's there are ways to deal with it. Well, you know, like if it's Hong Kong, of course, the Hong Kong has the terrific library service. The interlibrary within the Hong Kong system to the 8 universities actually they are open to each other, so that's not a problem. And Taiwan, I think it's also very research conducive, and No, mainland China is fine too. The well, you have to really use your connections. I think this works in all contexts.
Personal contact.
Of course. I mean, making cold phone calls usually.
Okay, yeah.
I cannot say it don't work, but cold phone calls usually would probably prolong the process. But I've done it too.
You mean contact with the library you want to go?
Yeah. So the best thing, I think the easiest is to ask around. I have done it. I mean, I told you this about the sub-provincial libraries and the gazetteer office. It turned out the gazetteer office, they have actually some the digital collection and the repository. So I have been actually contacting them for a number of years, and then eventually he just gave that to the USB disk to me for free. It's very expensive, like 10,000 Chinese yuan, I think, something. But because of, as I said, my persistence and my long time relationship with them, I didn't know them actually in the beginning. I simply asked my dad, use your, as I said, use your local resources. I simply asked my dad to make a contact in the beginning, and then when I visited Luoyang, I simply went to the gazetteer office, and so the relationship started from there. I didn't know them in the beginning.
How do you access to the archives in the local, like if I want to go to the archive collection in this city, so how mm-hmm. Because I remember when I was young, like my grandpa's, like the whole life document kept in the museum, but we are not allowed to get any copy from that, so I just...
It's okay, then you just handwrite them down, and just have to do the hard way. It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. Do the hard way also. I think it's not really, it varies. I must say that I'm really reluctant to give the generalized suggestion. But I think it depends. I mean, sometimes, for example, I also visited the Luoyang Daily, the newspaper library. They are pretty good. Pretty good. So you just have to be resilient, be flexible, and resourceful. It's just there is a way to do it. But on the other hand, do not, as I said, just only count on one source. No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.